Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Ted Johnson's here, and he's wearing what I think might be my favorite part of his wardrobe I've ever seen.
Oh, you like it?
I like the design inside the hood that's become a thing with hoodies, and you have a very plain, simple hoodie, though, with a very colorful...
You like the logo?
You got a goat. You got Tom Brady's hoodie.
It's not a Tom Brady brand, but it is a head of a goat on my sweatshirt. So.
Oh, that's right. It's Drake May's brand now. Baby goat, the kid.
Oh man, here he comes. He's coming. Hey, Swannies is the brand name of my sweatshirt.
Sweatshirt come with flamingos on it? Because I think Andy would be interested if it does.
And since I brought up their sweatshirt, Swannies, feel free. XL, maybe an L, depending on the cut of your jib.
Dan, could you do me a favor? Go in the parking lot and see if there's any shame left in the building.
Nope, there's none.
Fresh out.
Plenty of spots open for it. It's 3 o'clock. Ted's here. It's time for the three-point stance.
319!
318!
318! 318!
Yeah, there you go!
What's up? Shut up!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you and your shameless plugs got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right, let's create some controversy. Here's 60 seconds. Go.
Nice job, Stiz, hitting my music.
I like that.
We all heard the controversy when Bad Bunny was announced as this year's Super Bowl halftime performer. There are concerns the Puerto Rican artist isn't exactly in love with the president, stopped doing shows. There are concerns out there that he may turn the halftime show into some sort of political stunt. And therefore, change.org, there is a petition you can go sign to get rid of Bad Bunny and bring in a king, which might be appropriate with Trump in office. Bring in King George, the greatest country singer of all time, 60 number one hits. And the person who started the change.org petition said, Super Bowl halftime show should unite our country, honor American culture, and remain family-friendly, not be turned into a political stunt. George Strait embodies unity, tradition, and the timeless American music that truly deserves the 2026 Super Bowl spotlight. I agree. King George. Maybe bring some of his country music friends, Morgan Wallen and others. Let's not have controversy at halftime when the Patriots are playing. Let's have King George.
I'll sign this petition. Where's it? Where's it at?
Change.org, baby. Let's go, because right now it's only got 10,000.
What about Willie Nelson? Can we get Willie on that?
You better rush. And that was my other thing.
Hurry up. Fast.
George Strait, 73. Yeah. Don't hold him for, like, Nashville Super Bowl in 4 or 5 years. Yep. You shouldn't be holding people in their mid-70s for future shows. Yeah, if no. Green bananas,
if you want to
no.
do a country... Now, maybe George Strait immediately just, like, sets the influencer line at, like, 50 to 75. You know, like, this is definitely a more boomer-centric choice, no matter how much you've loved country music your whole life. If you want to do a country all-stars where you have George Strait and maybe Willie Nelson and you have Morgan Wallen and Luke Combs.
Absolutely.
You're going to need to dip into the teen demo, the 25 to 34, 34 to 54, because you don't want to go so old that, like, all the youngs are like, take their phones and toss them away for 20 minutes. And by the way, this whole turning point, like, counter program show that they're trying to do, let's try to be more divisive. While we can, you know, let's definitely not unify each other. Let's all go a million different ways.
Oh, the Puppy Bowl is still running. You can go to the Puppy Bowl at halftime or whatever. And
oh,
see
shout out my boy Dan Schachner.
My boy Dan Schachner, who beat me for the friggin' job 14 years ago.
Both your boys,
yeah it's the Puppy Bowl.
No, Shaq and I used to do TV shows together. Oh. He's a great guy.
Is that a brag or a great story?
Both apply.
That I'm friends with the Puppy Bowl referee? Are you kidding me? He's got a house built on Puppy Bowl referee stripes. God love him.
I was going to say, I guess it's not a brag if you say I lost out on the job to him X number of
years ago.
No,
he beat me for the gig. God love him.
So I actually think Fitzy's right. If you were going to do George Strait, I'm the biggest George Strait fan there is, but he doesn't bring the vibe and the energy that you need for a halftime show. I actually think all the halftime shows are better when you get that pop of another artist and then another artist.
I love it.
And it's just a compilation
of
hits.
LA halftime show the best.
It's easier to do because each guy just, whatever your most popular song is, play it. And then the next, it's like being at wrestling when it's like, by God, is that Stone Cold's music? And it breaks
and everybody's
cheering.
Yep.
Was that Eminem and Dre and Snoop and one after? That halftime show was an absolute banger.
It's the best.
Awesome.
All the classics from the 90s, you know, early 2000s. It was... I thought that was the best one. I thought the stage was incredible. The set was amazing. And I thought the artists that they brought up were just classic songs from hip-hop and rap from the 90s and early 2000s, which is my favorite time.
Does the NFL realize how polarizing the Bad Bunny selection is? They have to. Their optics can't be that blind to it.
Well, that's where we've had some discussion off air, wondering if that's what they wanted. Did they want attention? I don't know.
That surprises me a little bit.
But
well, he's also one of the. To be fair, he's one of the biggest artists in the world. And if I had to hazard a guess, and I am not a huge fan of Bad Bunny because I don't speak Spanish, so I don't understand his songs. But
I don't speak Spanish.
I've said before on this program, the beats are fire. And if I had to hazard a guess, I think that this halftime show is going to be entertaining. Just from a viewpoint, like a viewer standpoint, I think it's going to be entertaining. I think the stage and the choreography and all that stuff is going to be... off the hizzy, as Andy would say.
Can you cue up Monaco real quick? Because that song is awesome, even though I don't understand it.
We'll bounce back with it, yes.
Okay, I also think it has little to do with the Americans watching the game. The NFL is branching off and doing international games and bringing in a bunch of revenue doing that.
This is
aimed for the international audience.
Yep. They know they got us. They got us Americans right where they want us. They're trying to expand their game to a global market, and so that's... I think that's as good of a reason as any that Dan just brought up.
Actually, they also kind of lose me. If I'm not hooked within about 30 seconds of the halftime show, I'm reloading the plate, getting a drink, going to the bat, doing all the things so that I can get, assuming the game is
better come out strong, Bad Bunny. You want to keep Andy's attention.
You want to keep me.
Yeah, you don't want to lose Andy.
MAGA heart. Moving on to food, wings, beer.
Otherwise, he's going to send an angry tweet about it and then argue with people until kickoff of the third quarter.
Yep. That's accurate.
Yeah, that's going to have nothing to do with Bad Bunny.
It'll be Panda versus Bad Bunny.
Okay.
Ted got it.
I think the panda is so awesome, man. I do love the panda, man.
Have you brought out your AI creation of the panda flipping the bird?
No, I feel like...
Nobody's earned it yet?
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and it's not my AI creation. It's something my Instagram tried to sell me as a stuffed animal, a panda bear flipping the bird.
That's fantastic.
But it kind of defeats the purpose, Andy. right?
Yeah, I know. That's my point.
The whole thing with the panda is like,
and that's why
Is it mean? Is it
exactly? If the panda is flipping you the bird, it's clear that meaning is.
Gotcha.
Some people are like, wait, does he love me like a panda bear? Because they're the universal symbol of love or whatever. So
I also want it on record on this show that Andy is not the one that didn't buy it. His wife told him he couldn't buy it.
Yeah, she literally told me I couldn't buy the. She's like, no, they're gonna steal our PayPal account. You're not gonna get it. We're just donating $40 to some Chinese website or something. Yeah, she wouldn't let me order it.
Smart lady, that Deirdre.
I don't wear the pants
in
my house.
Probably knows what she's talking about.
Several of my favorite children were accidentally purchased on Instagram and via PayPal. You should do it sometime.
Hey, and real quick to put a bow on the Bad Bunny halftime Super Bowl performance. He was on SNL the other night. And for people like me who said that, I don't understand or speak Spanish, he had this to say.
If you didn't understand what I just said, you have 4 months to learn.
All right.
Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, the Spanish doesn't bother me. I like Shakira.
What could go wrong?
Who doesn't like Shakira?
Amen to that, Teddy.
Yeah, yeah.
The hips don't lie.
This has been white guys in their 50s. Back to you, Dan.
Speaking of, Fitzy, are you ready?
Holy boomer, Batman. Yeah, I'm ready. Let's talk.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, so we've been bandying about the possibility that a New England Patriots could make a trade before the November 4th trading deadline, although a little cold water was poured on it recently by Coach Mike Vrabel. I'm still a believer the Pats can, will, and should make a move before the deadline to bolster one of their greatest needs, and that is backup running back. There are some other spots they could use a little depth in as well, but they need another running back because they're thin now with Travion and Ramondre, and Travion and Ramondre aren't exactly lighting the world on fire. Well, Bill Barnwell at ESPN.com proposed 13 NFL trades that need to happen before the deadline in a well-put-together, very long piece earlier today. And there was no particular trade that seemed initially targeted toward the Patriots until I read, they want to move on from Kyle Duggar. Oh, wait a second. Trade Kyle Duggar and some cash considerations to old pal Nick Caserio and the Houston Texans for backup running back Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce at one time was the starter before Joe Mixon entered the picture. Then injuries took out Pierce and Mixon for a while. And now Nick Chubb and his 17 different ACLs have been toting the rock this season. But Damian Pierce has 1,600 career yards at over 4 yards a carry, 8 touchdowns, has proven he can be a lead back and would be just the reliable guy the Patriots need to shore up the running back room. Do it.
You know, Bill Barnwell does write the longest articles. It's like, dude, I can't read them anymore.
I can't either.
It's the definition, Ted, of TLDR. Too long, didn't read.
If you've ever met him, I mean, it's like, I know you live in your mom's basement, bro. I know you do. Be honest.
He's got a lovely apartment in Brooklyn. He's a nice guy.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, he does.
I'm wrong. Then.
With his mom?
I don't know.
Come on.
It's above his mom's house.
That makes more sense.
That's what it is. But yeah, no, he's nice brutal. Guy and all, but just his articles are brutal.
Yes, but so Kyle Duggar for Damian Pierce, Duggar for a backup running back.
You get something when you thought he was going to get cut, Andy. Like, talk about something for nothing. That
Sign
would be
me
great.
Up,
now,
man.
You have needed him of late because last week he was out there to start the game. He
made that tackle on the first play about 50 yards downfield.
He did make the tackle, though.
He made the tackle. That was a ridiculous ask for him to cover Chris Olave. If all that space,
and
my
that's
gosh.
What I wanted to get back to. To me, that was not a Duggar issue. That was a scheme issue. Whatever scheme had your worst coverage guy out on their number one receiver
in just
space.
With all that space.
Like, unbelievable.
Like, nobody could have
hardcore,
nobody
love you, mean
covered
it,
Chris Olave in that situation.
Not the time for the corner blitz.
And then the very next snap.
Agreed.
The very next snap, they had Christian Gonzalez on the tight end. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Why is the best cover guy on the tight end and the safety who can't really cover is
they
on the number
one receiver?
They didn't
put him on Olave almost the whole game. I think they're still trying to kind of nurse his hamstring a little bit. They're not putting him on the best players.
Well, let's have another
like
option.
Like they used to.
But my bigger point was Kyle Duggar is being used right now. Jaylen Hawkins still missing practice. I think there's a lack of depth at safety. So you may not want Duggar, but I'm not sure you can really afford to trade Duggar right now. Also, don't know if they want to pay the back end of his $9 million, $10 million
safety. The team taking him? No, probably not.
Whatever. I just want to throw this out there. We can get to this at another point. I was reading another Tony Pauline, however you say his
Tony
name.
Tony Pauline, yeah.
He had a little trade deadline story previewing, and he threw in there that he thinks that the Dolphins could trade A-Chain. And if he is available, I'm interested in that because that's a guy that I think takes your offense to the next level if you add him to what this passing game has been and the play action game and everything you could do. So we'll put a pin in that and come back to it. But yeah, I think you need Duggar right now, Fitzy, which is weird. We didn't think that early in the year, but now I feel like you might need him.
And it's almost like you had another another safety that you might have been able to hang on to further add depth that position.
He's in Pittsburgh.
How's he doing? He's just forcing fumbles. Yeah, when you when he plays the Patriots,
they're not even that good. They're only like a couple games over 500.
Good news is he would have been in first place no matter which team he was on, Patriots or Steelers.
Are we doing our pirate rankings today with the teams? Because the Steelers is an interesting team.
Yes, yes, we are.
Ted, it was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, no, it was. I was like,
I was stuck at one.
After you did that, I was like, I started doing the. I was like, this is way too hard, Andy.
Awful.
Damn you! But I did it.
Awful. All these people that do weekly power rankings, I have a little bit more respect for having to sit down and do that on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Not mine easy, was bury my dad, but okay.
Oh, God.
A little death humor. We needed that.
Do you think the weekly power rankings, they do it from 1 to 32 every week, or is it like, yeah, you know what, let's get them talking. Move the Patriots up to, you know, publish it like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The Chris
you
Sims
have
approach,
to do that,
that's
right?
What Sims does with his quarterback rankings. I know he absolutely does a few weird things to get people talking about it.
Absolutely. Which, hey, it gets us talking about it, which I guess
we appreciate
your goal. There you go. All right, Teddy, you ready, my friends?
I'm not ready yet.
This is the first time ever.
Just I don't know what to do with this information.
Slow it down. Hold on. I want to go around and do a little show poll real quick. Everybody, I asked you the other day what you thought of the defense. Just describe what you think the Patriots defense. Do you remember what you said to me?
Good.
Okay, you say the defense is good, Andy. What do you say, Fitzy? What do you think the defense is?
So I think rock solid was my phrasing.
Yep. You said rock solid, and then I think there was a solid back here too.
I gave can be explosive when healthy.
Can be explosive. Yes.
I said good enough.
Good enough. Good enough. All right, now we can start. I'm going to see what you guys, if you change your minds after this.
I feel like the power's gone to his head.
After the three-point stance, see if you guys still feel the same way. All right.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. The Pats defense, through the first 2 weeks of the season, if you remember, they led the NFL in sacks at 9. They had 4 against the Raiders, 5 against the Dolphins. And after those first two games, they've played 4 games, and they have a total of 4 sacks in the last 4 games, totaling 13. So it got me thinking, well, what are they rank in this category of pressure rate from the defensive line? They rank 31st in pressure rate from a 4-man rush at 25.1%. They have a pressure rate overall of just 30%. And their pressure rate when they blitz goes up to 41%. And so it got me thinking, what are possible edge rushers that maybe they could be in the trade market for before the trade deadline up here. It's coming up in about 2.5 weeks. Trey Henderson of the Bengals, 35 sacks the 2 years before this year, 2023-2024. He's got 4 sacks on the year this year. Jalen Phillips, former first-rounder who's on his fifth-year option. Kayvon Thibodeau of the Giants. They have a surplus of edge rushers. That could be a guy. And then Bradley Chubb of the Dolphins, who's got 4.5 sacks through 6 games. I think this should be like position they target because that pass rush, as good as it started out, has really cooled off. They're not getting to the quarterback with a 4-man rush, and the sack total has gone way, way down from where it started. So pass rush has me concerned.
Okay, Ted, in the Bill Barnwell tone poem that was his 13 trades that need to happen, two pass rushers go both to the Lions. He's got the Lions trading for Trey Hendrickson and giving up a second round pick to get him. And then he also has the Lions trading a 2026 fourth round pick to the Dolphins for Jalen Phillips. And I think that would be a steal because I love that guy's game.
Well, they would be far and away the favorites to win the Super Bowl with Hutchinson.
I was going to say Aiden Hutchinson and Trey Henderson.
And Jalen Phillips.
A little much, but that's the stuff you come up with in your mom's basement. You know?
I've also seen speculation the Eagles could be interested in Trey Hendrickson, that they were trying to get some pass rush help this offseason. One of the guys they actually signed was Josh Uche, who obviously we know doesn't really help your pass rush.
Oh, he's not Josh Sweat 2.0?
Nope. No, he is not. So, and we know that Howie Roseman is aggressive and probably feels like he needs to do something to maybe shake up that team and get that team headed in the right direction. And I think a trade for a guy like Trey Hendrickson would certainly do that, would certainly change the defensive front that they would bring to the field. So, yeah, I would love Trey Hendrickson. I don't know how realistic it is.
Does it worry you? He's, you know, going into his ninth year.
No, because he's a rental. He's a rental.
All right.
You know, he's going to be a free agent after the season. They didn't give him the extension. They just give him, what did they bump him up, like $14 million or something for this year.
That was a nice raise.
He's the type of player, Ted, that when Vrabel said the other day, no, our record doesn't really affect the way we're going to approach this.
Yeah.
I feel like he's not trading for that guy.
Say, huh?
Yeah. Because that's a guy I would add saying, oh, you're going to make the playoffs. If you get Trey Hendrickson, you might go to the AFC title game. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But I don't. I just got the vibe they're not looking high-end rentals.
Yeah, probably not. But that is something they need to get in this next off season for sure. I think that the pass rush is – it started off hot. It's really cooled down. Just a side note, Philadelphia Eagles, they're two games over 500. They're 4-2 record. And they have a -1 in point differential.
Yeah, not great.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
two games over 500, and you have a minus plus 30.
I think plus the Patriots
30
are so
tied with
somebody else.
The Bills plus 30. Team. The other team in the division, the Bills.
All right, that's going to do it for our 3-point stances this afternoon. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, our buddy Tom Curran. We're going to talk to him. Is he trusting Drake May and the Patriots more than he did a week ago? We'll find out next here on WEEI. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon. New England concludes their three-game road trip on Sunday in Tennessee against the Titans. Kickoff is at 1 p.m. Wednesday's injury report looked like this. Three players did not practice. That's safety Jalen Hawkins, as well as linebackers Anthony Jennings and Harold Landry. Four players were listed as limited participants on Wednesday. Defensive tackle Christian Barmore, wide receiver Stephon Diggs, offensive tackle Morgan Moses, and corner Charles Woods. Two players were also considered full participants in Wednesday's practice. That's corner Christian Gonzalez, as well as defensive end Keon White. Tonight, Week 7 in the NFL begins as the 4-1 Steelers visit the 2-4 Bengals. Kickoff is at 8:15. Coverage via Westwood One begins here on WEEI at 7:30. The Celtics finish off the preseason with a 110-108 win over the Raptors at TD Garden last night. Xavier Tillman hit a game-winning two with 1.4 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Derek White led all scorers with 33 points. Boston opens up the regular season next Wednesday, October 22nd at TD Garden against the 76ers. Tip-off for that one is at 7:30. The Bruins open up a three-game Western road trip tonight when they visit the Vegas Golden Knights. Puck drop is at 10 p.m. Boston has a 3-1 record to start the season. And from around Major League Baseball, tonight the Dodgers host the Brewers for Game 3 of the NLCS. First pitch is at 6:08 p.m. L.A. leads the series 2-0. And last night, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 13-4 in Game 3 of the ALCS. Game 4 is tonight. First pitch is at 8:33. Max Scherzer, Luis Castillo, the pitching matchup there. Seattle leads the series 2-1. In the spirit of Halloween, Awaken 180 is offering free consultations all month long. It's scary how easy losing weight can be. Find out if Awaken 180 is right for you and for free. Call to book your free Awaken 180 consultation at 844-346-1800. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
A little play along at home tease. We're going to do a segment later where we're going to rank, give our rankings of NFL teams top 1 to 15. It's going to go hand in hand with a snake draft we're going to do. And if you want to play along at home, it's not as easy as it sounds.
No.
So you can prep. I know Ted Johnson and I have both been stressing over it all afternoon because I struggled from the number one spot straight through 15. You might as well just throw a dart at the board when you get past like five or six and they're all the same and Patriots could be this or the Broncos could be that. All those frickin' 4-2 teams that are bunched up across the NFL. But joining us now on the phone lines is our buddy Tom E. Curran from NBC Sports Boston. And Tom Curran with WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. By Shaw's and Star Market, look for the new lower prices every day tags through the store and save on the items you buy most. And Tom Curran is powered by Verizon. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Great. What's going on, buddy?
So I know you used to have an MVP vote. Do you still have an MVP vote?
You know what? I recused myself from the process of voting for the season-ending awards and the All-Pros last year. Because I came to the conclusion that there's a lot of money involved in these All-Pro and Coach of the Year incentive waiting things. And I said, you know what? I don't watch who the third best guard in the league is. Give it to somebody who spends more time doing the national stuff. So I recommended Albert Breer, who spends a lot more time on the phone. So long story short, no. I think Albert will be doing it from here on out. But I just felt like I was not equipped to do it.
Look at you. That's very magnanimous.
Very
impressive.
So.
Anyway.
Like that.
Let's just pretend. I know you're a good actor. I've watched some of those skits over the years on Quick Slant, so I know you're a great actor. Mm-hmm. So let's pretend you have a vote. Is Drake May a legitimate MVP candidate in your mind?
Why, sure he is. Absolutely. And it's great because we now have weighted votes for all of those Coach of the Year and player and MVP, offensive player, all those. The votes are weighted, so we would do the top five guys. And I certainly think that Drake May will garner, if he continues at this pace, at least some of the top five votes. So I would say Baker Mayfield would be up there. Jared Goff would be up there. Drake May would be up there. You could throw Puka Nacua up there. Daniel Jones would be up there. Which is to suggest that this is the way MVP votes usually look in the early portion of the season before Halloween. It could be anybody that you didn't expect.
Yeah, very true, Tom. I'm curious what your thoughts on just the passing game in general. It's obviously, I'm guessing that it has impressed you and probably exceeded your expectations based on what we saw to start. And I'm just curious what aspect of the passing game is kind of the most impressive to you. Is it the completion percentage? Is it his ability? I think he leads the league in plays of over 20 yards. Is it his completion percentage on third down, which is the best in the league? I mean, what part of the passing game has got you kind of the most excited to see from Drake?
Teddy, I think it's the fact that I don't think any team has yet found a way to stop him.
Yep.
Which doesn't mean to say that he's the Michael Jordan of 2025 NFL, but what is it right now that he is having a hard time with in terms of what defenses can throw at him? You know, he's hitting from the pocket. He's hitting under pressure. He's hitting on the move. He's running with the football. The passing game itself it's not anchored to one superior talent. There's no Edelman. There's no Gronkowski. So I think that's what impresses me the most, the confidence with which he's playing. It's not an offensive line that's neither is it chock full of all pros or pro bowlers. So some of it may be a byproduct of the teams they're playing against. He's had sensational games against Carolina and Miami, but you can only play who's in front of you. So I think what impresses me most is his downfield throwing, the inability to put my finger on one thing that he sucks at right now, mm-hmm. since he seems to have gotten over the opening of the game jitters that I thought that he suffered from a little bit, certainly in the offseason and in week one. So the bulletproofedness is what that impresses me the most.
Okay, Tom, little Tommy on the spot here. You can't choose Drake May. What new member of the New England Patriots has been the most pleasant surprise for you thus far through six games?
Diggs and Booty, even though I thought both would be good players. But while I'm on the spot, I have to think on the spot and on the fly. So I'm going to go with Diggs. And how about Bobby Spillane? Huh?
Yeah.
We crushed him for the first
2 weeks. Yeah, no doubt.
And we all spent a lot of time saying, do I see a bust? Is that a bust?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it has turned out to not be a bust. It's turned out to be a very productive player. So I would say those three players, and I was talking earlier this week about the acquisitions the Patriots have made, both through the draft and in free agency. And you can come up with like a dozen guys.
Mm-hmm.
Diggs, Campbell, Bradbury, Moses, Jared Wilson, and defensively Craig Woodson, Milton Williams, Harold Landry, Robert Spillane. Yep. All of these guys came in this past year. Mac Hollins. The core of this team is completely new, and it's really interesting to look at how impactful it's been in terms of the player acquisitions and the early returns.
You just named six guys on the offense and six guys on the defense that have been brought in either via draft or free agency that are making impacts on this team, which is very kind of Commanders-like from 2024.
Mike Vrabel, Executive of the Year?
Maybe.
Ooh, doggy.
Maybe.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston.
he's got the title. Imagine Elliot Wolf getting named when he's sitting there with the name and all it says is GM on the front of his desk and nobody else is listening to him.
Poor Elliot.
Probably the case.
Tom, this may be a tough one to answer on the fly, but of all the things this team is doing well right now, because they're playing well, they're a playoff team, they're a 4-win team, we're all excited. Of all the things they're doing well, which part is most sustainable and which part are you worried will not be sustainable of what they're doing right now?
The great health that they're having is the thing that I worry about.
That's a good answer.
Being the most unsustainable. God bless them. You never wish ill. And I think everyone would understand that. But that to me is the number one thing. What happens if you get into the Marcus Bryants or further down into the, cornerback group? To me, that's it's hard to see them sustain. Tight end is another spot that is kind of sneaking through. So I think that's the biggest thing that I'm crossing my fingers for people's good health, because I don't want to see anybody hurt. If they're going to suck, I want them to suck on their own merit.
And then that's a good way to live life. That's a general theory.
And then secondly, what do I feel is the most sustainable?
Yeah. You there?
I think anything that's related to McDaniels and the defensive front generating pressure, I think that is in their DNA right now. It's who they are, and they've become that quickly. So I think the defensive front and the ability to exert some pressure and be a good and productive front seven, it's the number one sustainable thing. And then I think McDaniels continuing to find ways to at least get them over 20 points. Remember when 20 was this barrier that was very difficult for them to break?
Yeah.
I think the McDaniels is grown comfortable enough that even if you ended up with the injuries that befall you and Josh Dobbs is out there, I still think that they could find ways to get there.
Tom, they're obviously Mike Vrabel's, it's a homecoming for him, and there's a lot of talk about his time there. Just the storylines of the Patriots playing the Tennessee Titans and Mike Vrabel going back, do you think this has an impact in the game? Do you think this is going to fire guys up? Do you think is there something we're missing in this storyline that we should be paying attention to? Just your overall thoughts about Mike Vrabel going back home to Tennessee.
I think it's going to have a huge impact on the way they play on Sunday. And I think that the way the schedule has mapped out has been tremendously in their favor, not because of the strength of opponent, but because of the way each week has provided a gradual growth for them. You know, the first week, it wasn't a difficult opponent with the Raiders at home. They didn't win, but then they went to Miami and they did, fortunately for them, face a Miami team that they were able to take advantage of the mistakes of and May played cleanly. So now you get your road win, you build some confidence. You come back, you play well, believe it or not, against the Steelers, but turn it over five times. So you have an easy thing to say, well, we would have won by 21 points if we didn't give them the game. So you got more fuel. Then you got a get right game with Carolina to really give you proof of concept, Teddy. We talked about it in the post game, and they win easily. And then they go to Buffalo to get another proof of concept type of win. That even if they had lost that game, you would have said there's still momentum. New Orleans, and now this game, I think, in what would be and is their third straight game on the road, but could be their fourth straight road win, bridging back to the Miami game. And they have a reason to have their attention captured. So I think it's really interesting to see the way the season has played out. And Ted, you know Mike, he likes to grind people. He will delight in grinding the Tennessee Titans. Phil Perry pointed out to us, you know, it wasn't just the screwing with Bill in the timeouts a long time ago or beating the Patriots so soundly in the final game for Brady in the playoffs. He also threw a gadget pass in 2018 in which, I don't know if the quarterback was Tannehill, I think it was, right after the Patriots had lost in the Super Bowl. They put in one of those gadget passes where Tannehill was able to make a reception, just kind of like Vrabel kind of saying, ha-ha, we can run the play, and our quarterback will catch it.
Yeah, and Mariota, and Brady almost wrecked his knee on that damn play in 2018. Yep. Yeah, that was brutal. Thank you, Tom. I saw earlier, I floated this by the boys, Bill Barnwell on ESPN suggested trading Kyle Duggar for Damian Pierce, maybe to get a backup running back or see if he can get the run game going. There's a million different theories as to why it's just stalling out still, and I don't know how much longer you can ask Drake May to be 85% of the offense. You got any hints or tips lying around there as to what we can do to get this ground game going?
Give it to Henderson more often. Just give him the ball. Stop waiting until you've looked at the numbers and said, oh, damn, we've only given it to him two times in the first half. Just start the game with him at running back and get him to a point where he's running with comfort and not, hey, I got to earn my carries here. Now, he was over 4 yards on many of his runs last year, but there were only 9 of them. I would try and get Travion Henderson going because I don't think that Stevenson, even if he doesn't fumble for a long period of time, I don't think he'll be able to run with the confidence that you want from your number one back for weeks. He's got to string together. He's probably got a little psychological damage right now that's impacting the way he runs the ball. So I would say go ahead, run Travion Henderson, and make sure that they figure it out. However, we talked about this, and I'm sure you guys have too. I do think it's sustainable to win without a top half of the league or even, and I know that they're 32nd, so, but I do think they're capable of winning without a top tier running game or even a good running game.
Yep. Same. Before we let you go, the Titans fired their coach. Do they get a little bump? What's your prediction? How's this game play out?
They are bumpless. They are bump free. I think sometimes you see teams that are held back by their head coach and there's dysfunction caused by the head coach, and they're just waiting for that guy to get shown the door. And then these veteran teams, you know, resort to, hey, okay, now it's on us. They're just not that team in terms of veteran leadership. They're not that team in terms of leadership at the quarterback position. They're heinous right now in so many offensive categories. Give me a second, and I'll find the thing I was just looking at, just how bad it is. Yes, sir. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. 5 offensive touchdowns, 28% on third down. They've given up 25 sacks.
Yikes.
They're allowing 5.4 yards. No, that's wrong. They're averaging 5.4 yards per attempt throwing, and it's a 55% completion percentage. They're allowing 4.5 yards per carry and 11 touchdowns this year.
And they are second to last.
I'm not going to say, yeah. right?
Second to last in point differential.
Yeah, they stink.
Minus 78.
They stink. That's a lot of numbers to say the Titans stink and the Patriots should roll. Tom Curran, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
That was Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, I'm getting mixed messages. So about a half hour ago, I listened to Ted Johnson. 10 minutes ago, I listened to Tom Curran, and they're both telling me two very different things.
He wasn't paying attention.
About the Patriots and an aspect of their team. We're going to need to clarify this up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
What do I feel is the most sustainable?
Yeah. You there?
I think anything that's related to McDaniels and the defensive front generating pressure, I think that is in their DNA right now. It's who they are, and they've become that quickly. So I think the defensive front and the ability to exert some pressure and be a good and productive front seven, it's the number one sustainable thing.
This is obviously bad music.
No.
Also Bad Bunny.
You have 4 months to learn the language. 4 months.
Ain't happening. I took 5 years of Spanish in school, and I can't speak enough.
Dude,
so
you and I are the exact same. I never could figure out that damn language, man.
I'll always hear like one word, and I'm like, oh, I know that word. Yeah. And then like the rest of it, I have no idea what
the
hell.
Can we just real quick on the Spanish? You know what always messed me up? That's a red table.
But a table that's red.
It's table
it's
red.
Like they invert
everything. Yeah, that throws me off.
Yeah. No, it's...
Anyway.
Not easy.
Not easy, no.
But you know what else is not easy for a young radio host like myself?
Being contradicted by a guy of Tom Curran's stature?
So I listen to your three-point stance, and you tell me... The pass rush stinks. They need to go get Trey Hendrickson. They're front-loaded sacks in the first two games. You gave me numbers.
I gave you numbers, data,
stats. You gave me
everything. Yeah.
And then I asked Tom Curran what's most sustainable about this team that's good right now, and he's like, oh, definitely the pass rush and the defensive front. So
you caught him off guard. You caught him off guard. He wasn't really thinking, clearly. If he had more time to really think about the question, he would have given you, a different answer. And he clearly wasn't listening when I did my three-point stance. But the numbers I gave you was that the Pats defense right now have 13 total sacks. They had 9 after two games. So they've only had, in the last four games, 4 total sacks. That's one metric. Okay, and then you look down at where do they rank in pressure rate from four-man rush? Because they use mostly a four-man rush. All right? They rank 31st
Yikes.
In pressure rate with just rushing 4 guys. So they're only getting to they're only pressuring the quarterback with 4 guys 25% of the time. And their pressure rate overall is 30%. It bumps up when they blitz to 41%, but that's to be expected. That you would think that would be that number when you're bringing more players into the rush. So.
That be front-loaded real quick? Wouldn't that to the early part of the season when they blitzed right out the gates with Terrell Williams and you told me they had a bunch of sacks?
Right.
Those numbers are swayed towards week one, probably.
Exactly. And they were blitzing a lot more in the first 2 weeks, hence the 9 sacks.
Yeah.
So, It's correct. Maybe they need to blitz more, but I think with Christian Gonzalez back there, with Jalen Hawkins down, they're not feeling real comfortable about their secondary. So you don't want to, you know, you want to be able to flood the zones and keep more guys in coverage if you can, considering kind of what they're dealing with as a secondary.
So, Fitzy, I don't know Spanish, but I think I speak Tom Curran. I'm going to translate a little bit. I think Tom was sort of focusing on the defensive tackle position and saying something that's most sustainable on this team is Christian Barmore, Milton Williams, and Tonga. Like, I don't know if that's for sure, but I feel like he was saying...
Because against the run, they're good.
Yes.
Spillane's playing better. Christian Ellis is playing better.
Yeah.
But just... As far as pressuring the quarterback, they're not as good as people thought or think. Yeah,
there's not a natural pass rush. There's no NASCAR formation that is just getting home every other snap right now.
And especially with, I haven't seen today's injury report, but Harold Landry, we were worried last week when he left. Then he came back and it was like, okay, you escaped danger. Then he misses practice. If Harold Landry's not out there, that's a significant blow to the front.
And
a little revenge game for him, too, don't forget.
A little bit. Yep. And
Gibby.
For others, yeah. The PFF, whatever you think of their grades, I think there's something to it. You don't have to, you know.
I'm with Chris Long. Get them off my effing TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't want me to tell you the grade
you
that they give to the defensive line?
Go ahead.
They're ranked 20th in overall, just defensive line. They just rank the defensive lines based on all these metrics, and they are ranked 20th in the NFL as a defensive line. So they're ranked. They give them 65.4 points, and they give the top defensive line is the Cleveland Browns at 90. So,
ooh, big gap,
big gap,
yeah. Big gap.
That Mason Graham kid is playing way better than people thought he would after he puked this summer.
Coming up on WEEI Afternoons, the Patriots have a star player who's also become a leader and a mouthpiece, and I don't know if we all saw this coming, but Stephon Diggs continues to do and say all the right things. The leader is at
it
again.
Will it last? Will it last?
We'll find out. We'll talk about it. And Ted Johnson is a little bit worried about the run game. We'll get into that as well. Do they need a run game? How bad is the run game? How do you jumpstart it? All that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.